Welcome, dear listener, to the Eldritch Hour. We are a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Episode of The Star on the Shore. Thatch and Colonel Hall traversed the tunnel, discussing the cult activity in the town. Thatch informed Hall about the creature he and Amos encountered in their previous tunnel, and warned that a further search would warrant further preparation. Hall agreed and invited Thatch to dinner at his home. Charlotte, having experienced simply too much in the last few hours, ran in a blind panic into the woods and finally broke down as emotion washed over her. However, her intimate moment was disturbed by Alan Douglas watching from the nearby foliage. The interaction went from strange to terrifying, as the old hermit's demeanor rapidly changed, mere inches from Charlotte's face. Sterling left the sacred site and made his way into town towards the cafe, intent on waiting out the evening before his meeting with Nash. But before he could reach his destination, he encountered Thatch and Colonel Hall exiting from the cemetery. The two companions caught up on recent events and hatched plans to meet with Nash and have Thatch cover Sterling during his gathering with the Order later that night. Amos, still ahead of the others by several hours in our story, retraced his path in the tunnel leading from the mausoleum. He recovered Thatch's revolver and decided to push onward to see where the tunnel ultimately led. He discovered a hatch which exited out to the open sea from a small island in the bay, and now the boy stands alone amongst the waves, with Rockport at his back.
You're standing there, this man holding up this dead rabbit with his small trap still attached to one foot dangling, and a look of confusion on his face about the last few moments, but at the same time, obviously trying to cover that confusion up and just regain his composure somewhat. What are you doing? How are you reacting to this most recent event?
Probably still extremely confused. And kind of scared and put off in a lot of ways. I don't know, because I remember asking him if he was okay.
That was the last thing that happened. Yeah. Yes, you yeah. said, "Are you okay?" And then we cut away.
So. Yeah.
He has not answered you. He's just staring blankly back.
Why would he answer me? So I think at this point, I think it really like dawns on Char that she's in the middle of the woods with clearly a crazed man who clearly has bouts of schizophrenia. And so I think she's gonna leave now. She's like, I have to get back to town, or at least out of the woods.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not engage further, but just like back away slowly, and then as soon as she can, turn around and run.
Okay. As you start to back away, we're gonna work up to you running. He's been kind of staring at you, holding the rabbit. Then his arm kind of drops a bit, and his demeanor relaxes just slightly. And he says, "Am I okay?" And he starts to like kind of scratch the stubble on his face. And he says, "Well, I've seen a lot. I've seen quite a lot. Enough to make someone maybe not okay." And you're like still taking a couple steps back.
Yeah, no.
He says, if you saw it come from the stars, you wouldn't be okay either. And he starts to smile really big.
Retracting the runaway. what came from the stars?
Oh, they brought it here. They brought it here. And he just points out, like, towards where you came in from the woods.
Gotcha. Do you know what it is?
And he gets, like, really giddy again, and he kind of does one of those, like, hop dances and, like, starts to clap his hands a bit. The rabbit just plops. You hear a small bone crunch and the metal clink of the trap, and he goes, yes. Oh, I know what it is. They can't control it. They won't be able to control it.
What is it?
And he starts to back away from you into the bushes, and he says, it sleeps beneath. Look below. And then a hand just reaches back out from the bush, grabs the rabbit, and then you just hear scuttling through the bushes away.
We're gonna run. Now we're running. We're full running. Absolutely not. Charlotte has that moment where like the grab for the rabbit triggers her and be like, he's grabbing me, so she runs.
Sure. Yeah. You hear you hear a howling, like a human howling, through the woods echoing after you as you run away.
No. Charlotte is full fear. She's fear crying, like just like terrified.
If Charlotte is reacting this viscerally to that moment, I think this calls for a sanity roll.
I feel like we shouldn't. Just like from like from like, you know, like just like previous instances of my sanity rolls, I feel like we shouldn't do it. I feel like we should just let it go.
It seems like it's affecting her pretty heavily.
Listen, she's had a bad day. We failed.
It's about to get worse.
Ooh. All right. I'm just going to have you lose 1d3 here.
Oh, thank you.
So.
Yeah. Nice. Max me. Roll.
You've lost me. So much sanity today. That's not a good thing.
You're right, Joseph. You're so right. I've lost 13 sanity today.
I was just going to say, this definitely is higher than one total fifth, which puts you into
what's your sanity? Oh, 50. Oh,
I believe indefinite insanity.
What?
welcome.
Yeah, you can't lose a lot during the course of a day.
Yeah, if you lose in one game day a fifth of your max, you become what's known as indefinitely insane, which just means that you're hypersensitive to things that will trigger you. So from this point forward, any loss of sanity, no matter how small, automatically triggers a bout of madness until you have time to rest or you get professional help. So we're going to do something fun here.
No.
There's two different kinds of bout of madnesses. There's a bout of madness in real time, which happens when you're in the presence of other investigators. There's also bouts of madness, which are a summary, which happens when you have no one else around, which means I get to control what happens to you for a determined amount of time.
Cool.
And then I will summarize through gameplay or storytelling what has happened over that lost period of time.
Cool.
So, yeah, camera pan through the trees steadily as she's running, just crying, hearing howling in the distance. Cut. And we're going to go over to Sterling. You are walking up the street to the cafe, are you not?
Yep.
Okay.
Last thing I did was hand my prized possession over to a man I barely know. Now I'm headed to the cafe.
Thatch and Colonel Hall will actually be walking with you a short distance of this until they reach Cleve Street, and then they will make a right. Now that Eric has walked away. So I guess there's no conversation.
We can just say that, like, you know, we were just, like, resolving that conversation whilst moving, maybe.
Well, you had stepped away from Hall to talk privately. He was smoking a pipe on the corner, and then
that's true.
You kind of walked up and rejoined him. There's Eric. Eric, do you want to unmute? You and Hall are walking with Sterling for a short distance before you reach Cleve Street. I wasn't sure if there's a conversation the three of you might have. And if not, we can just cut to the chase and move on. So, but you've kind of had your private talk and then now rejoined Colonel Hall down Main Street.
Yeah, if there's a conversation, like instigation, it's probably from Colonel Hall, because me and Thatch sort of had a bookend to our conversation last session.
Sure.
So if he's interjecting anything, then maybe there's something there. But otherwise, yeah, I would just press on.
Okay. Then as you reapproach him after your conversation, you see him kind of prepping his pipe again already and lighting a match and lighting it up. And he takes a big puff and he says, "Well, you two schoolgirls done?"
Schoolgirls?
Oh, you know, that's gossiping and whatnot.
It's kind of
American thing?
It's an American
thing. Yes.
Yeah, we situated our business.
Very good. My residence is just up the street. So, I guess we can all have a walk together. You sure you won't join us, Sterling?
As I said, it's very lovely for you to invite me, but I have prior engagement. Appreciate
you,
though.
I understand. And you walk along, and he says, "So, your friend here, Sterling, tells me that you are obviously not only trying to help me uncover some of the strange goings on in this town that you've become aware of, but perhaps you're looking for something? Is this true?"
Yes. A good friend of mine has had a bit of their art stolen, and she's trying to locate it.
Hmm. Art thief. That's odd. Is it of great value? I assume it must be, to be stolen.
Yes, I suppose. I mean, it's difficult to price art, I imagine. So I'm not really sure how valuable it is, but my friend seemed very distressed that it had gone missing, so...
I see. Well, forgive me, but you're simply a man of science, as you previously denoted, and I understand, obviously, this person is your friend that lost this, but I get why he's here, being a detective. What sort of efforts did you bring to this venture?
I sort of helped us locate this town, based on leads that we had. You see, we had coordinates on a map that needed to be narrowed down, and it led us here to Rockport.
Well, that's odd.
He's good with coordinates.
You got coordinates to our town while looking for a statue stolen by someone you've never seen. This is a curious mystery, isn't it?
Yes, you see, the art piece sort of lived on a pedestal. So it was sort of, you know, two parts of the same object, I guess, and engraved on the pedestal was the location of your town. It's a mystery to me as well. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, and it very much is, but here we are.
He kind of takes a long drag on his pipe, and his, you know, eyebrows go very wide at the mention of, like, it was literally carved into a pedestal, and kind of gives you both a look and says, this sounds like some conspiracy level nonsense, if you ask me, but...
I don't mean to be rude, Mr. Hall, but, so is counting your footsteps in the middle of town and charting secret tunnels and all that. I think we're in the middle of a conspiracy, if you ask me.
And given the shady nature of this religious cult and all that nonsense, it seems like we found the right place.
Oh, I only humbly agree. It's just so bizarre, it's almost unbelievable if you weren't standing right in the middle of it. That's all I mean.
I agree. I very much agree.
Well, this is us, and he turns on Cleve Street and stops and turns around. He says, a pleasure again, sir, to make your acquaintance, and shakes your hand.
The pleasure is all mine, Mr. Colonel Hall. I'm sure we shall see each other again.
I certainly hope so. He smiles and says, come, Mr. Thatcher, let's not let the missus wait. Don't want the food to get cold.
Yeah, I'm going to clap Sterling on the shoulder and give him a nod and head on in.
I shall nod in return, being slightly jostled. Should I roll to be knocked over again?
No. No, you're fine.
I restrain myself whenever I do the shoulder.
Appreciate it.
It's in a companion-like sense, not an aggressive attacking kind of nature.
I am also very tiny. Small man.
I'm not that big.
You continue on, Sterling, and reach the cafe. And there's maybe only one or two folks in here. Besides you, when you get to the door, you can see the lights are on as it is starting to become dusk. And
do they have their hours posted on the like wall or window or a sign or something?
Yeah, there's a small sign hanging on the inside of the glass door that says they close at 7 o'clock. And it's
perfect.
Yeah, you have some time.
What time is it now?
Although it's about 5. And okay. It's, you notice, given that it's darkening outside, that it seems odd that it's dusk at 5 o'clock again in this town, given the time of year.
Bloody dark in this town. Surely the fog is not obscuring this much.
And so the lights are all on inside, bathing the sidewalk in a yellow glow. And you see Evelyn inside there, bussing a table and gathering the dishes and walking back towards the kitchen. And you can even hear her yell from outside to her, not husband. And
who do I recognize any of the other patrons? A couple of people that are here, or are they?
No, no, you names? Don't. No. There is a woman and a man, just a couple sitting at a table. The woman is thin, fair-skinned. She's got platinum blonde hair. And then the man is only just a slightly taller than her, and with very well-dressed, and got a vest and tie on and slicked back dark brown hair. The two seem to be having a delightful conversation about something. And they are all the way up by the counter at one of the tables.
So their back is faced to me then?
Yes. The man's back is to you. The woman is facing you.
Oh, sure. Do they look young? Younger?
They both look to be in their maybe mid-30s.
Oh, okay. How old is, remembering names? how old does, like, Sarah seem?
Oh, Sarah was fairly young. Maybe early 20s, maybe just barely 21.
Okay.
She was a young girl, which is something that all of you kind of took a mental note of when she said that she was the owner of the Woods house.
Right.
So.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll take the same seat that I took the first time by the front windows.
Sure. Yeah. You hear the bell ring and, Evelyn comes out beaming a smile. She says, "Oh, you're back." And she says, "I'll be right with you, dear."
Oh, take your time, Evelyn. Thank you very much.
Yeah, she brings over a couple, a fresh pot of coffee to the other couple, and then hurries her way over, pulls her pen and pad out of her apron, and says, "What can I get for you, dear? Surprised you're still in town. Most visitors don't stay more than a day."
Oh, well, I had to come back to this lovely little cafe.
You're so kind.
I think I'll have the tea again, thanks. What sort of food do you have on offer?
My partner makes a mean country fried steak, and we've got a couple sandwiches, ham, and turkey, BLT.
I'm sorry, what do you mean by mean? What do you mean mean? Aggressive.
It's no, and she smiles and says, "No, it means it's good. It's very well done, hearty.
I see.
Hits the spot."
Perhaps a BLT. That sounds very refreshing.
Absolutely. Would you like fries or mashed potatoes with that?
Oh my word. I'll take fries, thanks.
Absolutely, dear. She says, "I'll be right back with that tea." And she hurries off to the kitchen.
Thank you very much. How much space do I have at this table that I've... Like, is it like a booth that I'm at? Like, what?
Yeah, it's... they don't... All they have in there is a handful of four-person booths, and then also a few four-person circular tables, maybe four or five in the center of the cafe. So, you would have ample room on the table surface.
Can I... I guess I would wait till my tea arrives. So I don't know if Evelyn wants to start up another conversation about her past, but...
No, she hurries over, brings it back, and pours it, and just asks, sugar, cream?
Yes.
She says, oh, very good. And she walks back just to the counter, grabs some and brings it back, sets it down. And she says that the sandwich will be up in a jiffy, and then walks back to the kitchen.
Thank you very much. I'm going to sip the tea, and I'm going to take apart my watch.
Oh, okay.
And I guess maybe transfer my new rock of mysterious origin into my bag and give it a better home than just jammed in my pocket.
Sure.
Should I roll for the clock stuff?
Yeah, if you want to give me a watchmaking roll, this will determine more or less how much time you're taking to be delicate and such. Rather than knowledge or skill. So.
Yeah, I'm mostly, you know, doing tune-up stuff, but I think generally I'm put off that I how well I can trust it in this environment and how dark it is and whether it's actually working and these sorts of things. So.
Okay. Yeah. By all means.
Regular success, 38 out of 65.
All right. Yeah, this is, you know, you're finding yourself after your experience out on the shore still fairly calm, and this is just routine. No parts seem to be missing or look like they're of any unusual wear or tear, and, you know, you take it apart piece by piece just as you have 100 times before and have it all laid out in front of you. And then you hear a bell ring from the door, and a man steps in. He looks a little disheveled, wearing a beige trench coat, not unlike one you've seen from one of your partners, and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, some rough, unshaven stubble on his face, greasy hair, a bit slicked back, but like some of it's, you know, hanging forward, and he steps up to the counter and starts just ringing the bell, you know, constantly, and says, Hey, anybody here? I need some service. Where can I get some service? And Evelyn steps out and says, my goodness, dear, calm down. And and the man says, look, I'm just here looking for somebody. I don't need any food. Have you seen a private eye around here? He'd be tall, a bit, not quite as handsome as me, same kind of garb, tie, beige trench coat, hat, Stetson hat. His name's Detective Thatch. And she says, I can't say that I've seen anyone by that name. No, I'm sorry, sir. You're sure he's here? And look, lady, I'm a detective too. Yes, I know where my partner is. You haven't seen him. Okay, great. And he turns around and he starts to walk back out the door.
Excuse me, sir.
What? Huh? What?
Yes, you. Do you care to have a seat?
A Brit.
I think I know where your friend is.
My friend. You've seen Thatch?
Please, would you have a seat?
Yeah. Sure, I guess. And he's like, puts his hands in his pockets and he just sits down.
Would you like some coffee or something?
No, I had like 3 cups on the way over here. No, I'm fine.
Right, yes, I can tell. Yes, you're very, very attuned to your surroundings at the moment.
This guy right here. Attuned, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got a sharp eye, if that's what you mean. My name should be on the... Nah, never mind, you don't care. But what's your name?
I'm called Sterling. I came into town with Thatch. What's your name?
Nice to meet you, Sterling. Crosby. My name's Crosby.
Yes.
Detective Crosby.
Right, Detective Crosby. Yeah, Thatch did mention you were on your way into town. You made your way all the way up here already. It's very fast.
Already? It took me like 4 hours to find this place. It's supposed to be like a 45-minute drive. You get in the fog in there, and like, I swear to God, I went through the same road like 6 times. I don't understand how, but I'm not a bad driver. I'll have you know. I don't know how you know the Brits drive over there, but I'm one of the best, and I know how to get around in this country. And I'll tell you what, I haven't found anything this hard to find in my whole life, except maybe Thatch a woman. But
just
that's another story.
Just goes to show how good of a detective you are, I suppose. You managed to find it.
Yeah, this is a funny guy. You're a funny guy. You know what? I think I will take a coffee. Hey, miss. And he just like snaps.
My word. You're really driving this tip through the roof, I must say.
Oh, yeah. I always tip well. The waiters and waitresses are the backbone of this country.
Right. Well, what time do you have? And I look down at my watch, having closed the back of it at this point.
He checks his wrist and he says, it says about 5:15.
Does my watch match up?
Yeah.
No, I was just rewinding it, actually. Just making sure that I'm on time.
Oh, thank you, dear, as she pours the coffee. Oh, that's good. That is good stuff. So, anyways, how do you know Thatch? Why are you... Oh, did you come here with him? Are you on the case? Like, you a new hire? Are you going to be our intern?
Let's just say yes for the time being. But I believe he's met up with, what I can only imagine is a veteran friend of his from the war.
God, leave it to him to find the other army boys. That's great, though. That's great. We haven't, we never really felt at home in any of our veterans clubs back in Boston. So, you know, I'm glad he found somebody.
Yeah, he's already played cards with him.
I bet he lost everything. No wonder he needed me up here. Probably couldn't even afford a gun.
You know, that actually sounds very accurate. Well, I did last leave him moments ago. He headed up Cleve Street, I think it was, down up here on Main. So,
you know where that is? I feel all turned around in here. Ever since I've been on the road, I don't know, my head's all fuzzy. I don't know, you got that here? It must be the air or something. This fog is ridiculous.
So you've got a fuzzy head, a keen eye, and you managed to drive better than anyone you've ever met. You are very much a busy man.
I like you still, and he pats you on the face across the booth.
I'm immediately in shock from a human touching me without any sort of lead up to that. Right. Anyways, I don't know. You turn right when you leave here, and it's on your left. Just a ways up the road. It should be marked on
the right.
You know,
turn right. It's on my left. Well, I can tie my shoes, and I'm pretty sure I can find right then left. All right. Thank you, Sterling. And he stands up and just downs the rest of his coffee, slams the mug down. He's like, "I'll probably see you later on, unless you want to join me now."
I think I'll take later on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. All right. And he just then heads out of the door.
My word. I'm going to flag Evelyn over.
Okay. She steps up. She says, "What a character, that one, huh? You know him? Did he come in here with you?"
But he knows a friend of mine. Well, I'm glad you're taking his interaction very, very nicely. He's very forward, that man. Touched me in the face, he did.
Oh, they're all like that in Boston.
Do you know, I haven't quite had that experience myself. I don't know if that's accurate.
Huh. And she looks down and then scoops up several $5 bills that he left under the mug. Puts them in her pocket.
Cool. Well, great. Thank you much, Evelyn. Sorry for my boisterous friend.
Oh, it's okay. Did you need something?
Oh no, I just called you over to apologize, but I didn't actually imagine that you were fine with him.
I mean, he was, you know, he was a little.
He was a lot. He was a lot.
He was, wasn't he?
Yes.
And she smiles and then turns around and walks back towards the kitchen. With that, I think we'll cut over to Amos
What the fuck?
Amos, you are standing, having just come through this large hatch, surveyed your surroundings a bit. The beam of light from the lighthouse in the distance to your right passes over, and you catch a glint of something as the sea spray hits you. There's some kind of smoother surface than the craggy rock off to your left-hand side.
Yeah, I'll go check it out.
All right.
It's on the rock or is it the water?
It's on the rock. It's actually only maybe 5 to 10 feet from you, on your left-hand side. And you walk over and you notice it's another hatch. Roughly the same size and shape as the one you came through.
Alright. I'll put my ear to it. Can I hear anything?
It's going to be difficult over the roar of all the ocean around you. So if you want to give me a listen roll...
That's a hard success. 21 out of 60.
Excellent. You listen in, and you can hear more water sloshing a bit inside the chamber. But it's very echoey, as if this is another large open space that you can get into. But you don't hear anything beyond that.
How do these open? Is it like a wheel on the top to unlatch it?
No, actually, it was pretty rudimentary. It's like a large iron ring that on both sides, so you could hold on to it and kind of then just push and open the hatch. They swing open.
Sure.
It's a singular door. So when you came through the first one, you kind of just flung it up and over. And this one, now standing over it, you have a large metal ring that you can pull on to lift it up, and you'd be able to go down inside.
There's no windows or anything. It's just a solid piece of steel.
Correct. Yep.
All right. I'll open it.
All right. It creaks pretty heavily as you strain at first. You can feel that it's... You actually hear and see some rust particles, like, break off. Like, this hasn't been used recently. But you do manage to give it a good budge and fly it open. And you're met with a pretty rank smell. Almost like dead fish. And it is dark inside.
I will just do my handy dandy tried and true flash my camera down there. See what I can see.
Sure. Give me a photo roll just for some future reference.
Alright.
Perfect. Your flash goes off and it reflects actually off a watery surface. But there doesn't seem to be anything at least standing in front of you or around in the immediate area that noticed or that you noticed or caught your attention.
Does it look like the inside of the room that I just came out of?
Yes, it is more cave-like, than the brick chamber from under the cemetery.
Okay. I assume there's another ladder then.
This is, more like the one you just came out of, where it's actually more like a sloped set of, like, rocky stairs. It's not a ladder that goes straight down. So, again, very much like a cellar entrance, kind of, you can just walk down in, so.
I will I'll look around for a little bit, just look towards the shore, see if there's any signs of life. And then just go.
You do notice through the fog, just barely. So as I described before, you can, the mist becomes very thin as you look out towards the ocean, but towards shore, obviously, it's very thick in town. And just inside where it becomes thick, you see several lights. Orangey, glowing lights.
Do these look like similar lights to the fish person we saw earlier down in the tunnel?
No, these are more golden and orange in appearance. Maybe fire. It could be some kind of, like, perhaps candles, torches, or something different. Maybe the headlights of an old car. You're not sure.
I'll get a good picture of that, and then I'll go into the cave, or to the tunnel, or whatever.
Okay. Sure. I won't make you roll here, as you have nothing obstructing your view, so. All right, you descend in. The smell of the fish is overpowering, and you enter, again, it's about maybe only a 10 to 15 foot wide, and about only 7 or 8 feet tall. It's very smaller ceiling in here. Rocky. What? The water, as you finally get down in, is about just below waist height. So maybe upper thigh. And it's cold. Very, very cold.
I don't have any sort of light source, do I?
You had to have coming through the tunnel this way. Because you found the gun in the water. It glinted off
of your light.
You currently
are in possession of Lump's lantern.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll turn that on.
Okay.
Assuming I never turn it off.
Sure. Okay. You advance down the tunnel, and as you do, it goes down a little bit, again, not too dissimilar from the last one, downhill a ways, and the water gets to about belly height. And then after several more minutes, it starts to go back uphill until it's only about mid-shin. And you continue on until eventually the water is all but maybe an inch or two. And you do start to come across more than just yourself. There are boxes and crates down here.
Is there any markings on the crates?
No, they are completely void of any sort of notation or markings or symbols of any kind.
Has this, like, opened up into another room, or is it still just in a tunnel?
Still in the tunnel. And after you left the original cave entrance, it became brick again. Like the tunnel itself was man-made and constructed exactly like the others.
What direction am I going? Am I going back towards shore?
Yes. As you went in, it was facing the shore. So you had kind of surveyed around for a little while, you said, and then as you turned back to shore, you saw the lights and then basically walked straight down in. So, Maybe turned a little bit north.
Okay.
So, whereas the other one was coming from the south up to this island, as you know where the cemetery is, this one is headed a little bit north, but still towards what you think to be shore. It was also significantly shorter a distance until you got to this crate area with crates and stuff in it.
I will attempt to see if I can open a crate.
Okay. How are you going about this with just your hands, or?
Yeah, I don't really have any anything else to do, so I'll just try to pry it open.
Sure. If you want to then give me a strength roll, since you're using bare hands to try and pry open these. They are nailed shut.
Right. Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a right on success. 65
out of 65.
Nailed. Excellent. I like how Char started us off with a failed sanity check, and everyone else has been just perfect success all the way through. You struggle for a little bit, and it starts to hurt against your nails, but eventually you pry back one of the covers, and it's filled with straw and like packing material, but it looks to be tools of some kind.
Anything useful?
These look, there's various kinds of equipment I shouldn't say you don't recognize. Can you give me give me a mechanical repair, or I will accept a, this is going to be brutal on you too, but a hard education roll.
Hard as in like needs a hard success, is that what that
means? Yeah, he needs the hard success here.
Gotcha.
I love succeed.
I agree.
I guess I'll just, I mean, that's only 10% on that. Yeah, screw it. I'll go with mechanical repair.
All right.
Ooh. Nope. That's an 85 out of 10.
It's not that you don't recognize them as tools and equipment of some kind. It's just exactly what, because it's at you. What you can discern is that they are, it is in parts, and it's for something larger to be built and put together. These are equipment of some kind, but you're not exactly sure what.
Is there anything potentially that I could use as like a blunt instrument, basically?
Sure. I'll tell you what. How deep are you digging through this? Are you gonna like rifle through the whole thing?
This one box at least, yeah.
Sure. Then yes, I will say that you find a hammer. Just a good old fashioned hammer. And can you give me a spot hidden?
Hammer is alive.
It's a 75 out of 67.
That's a steep jump.
Spend that 8 points?
I will. Yeah, I'll spend the 8 luck.
Perfect. You notice, so you find the hammer, and then you go to put the lid back, and you notice on the underside of the lid is taped a piece of paper. And it is this handout I'm going to give you.
And now you know what the machine is.
There you go.
Maybe it's a pump it jack.
A sheet for the listeners at home. It is a sheet that, it's basically an order sheet for various heavy equipment and quarry supplies of some kind, but in massive quantities. You will also personally, Amos, recognize the last name of the man who ordered it as Ron.
Last name's Ron?
Yeah, R-A-H-N.
Hmm.
This is...
Oh! Is this...
Mm-hmm.
Secrets.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, for the listeners at home, it is the... It's from the Griffith and Turner Company, located in Baltimore. But there's various supplies listed to be sent to Rockport, including large steam shovels and water tanks, coal bunkers, winches, boiler replacements, a steam crane, and all kinds of large-scale digging supplies. Much more than you would even expect for the Granite Company here to need or order in a single order. As the total comes out to $534.
Jesus Christ.
Dated March 4th, 1854.
Hoo-hoo.
Oh. That means that $500 is even more.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a massive order for the early to mid 1800s.
I'll just kind of whisper to myself, wait a minute. Was Samuel in on it? What the hell is going on here? I'll put the lid back on, hammer it closed with my newfound hammer, as if I was never there.
There you go. With that, I'm going to... Dang, it's already been an hour? What the hey? We'll make this one a little bit longer. I'm going to quick cut over to Thatch and Colonel Hall.
What's up?
Hall leads you to his home, which is a modest little place. Maybe even a little bit less than you might have expected from a decorated war hero. Especially given the demeanor he kind of gives off as a little bit more high class in his walk and speech. Nonetheless, a quaint little house. Very classic American colonial villa. And he opens the door and says, "Come on in, lad. I'm sure the dinner's piping hot."
Ah, this is a... classic colonial you have here. Very nice.
Yes. Mrs. Hall picked it out. And who am I to combat the real one in charge? Am I right?
Oh, I hear you, sir. She has great taste. I tell you, they don't make like these like this where I'm from in Boston.
Come on in. And he leads you inside. It is... It's apparent that Colonel Hull and his wife are a fan of elegant woodwork, as most of the money on the place was probably spent on the inside, as there's beautiful crown molding and lavish furniture throughout the building. And he leads you into a dining room and offers to take your coat.
I allow him.
He sets it over on a small chair in the corner and says, "Can I get you a drink?" With kind of a knowing look, obviously this being Prohibition era.
I give him a knowing nod, and I say, "As you will, sir. As you will, sir."
He opens a small cabinet and brandishes a half-full bottle of whiskey and pours you a glass, slides it across the table. He says, "Let me, you sit here and relax. Let me go find the missus." I'll introduce you proper. And he leaves you to sit at the dining table. You have a view of the street from where you're sitting. Can you roll me a spot hidden?
For sure, dude. I'm going to roll the hell out of the spot hidden. And I'm going to get a 27 off a 62. That's 2 stars.
Body that's spot hidden.
Success.
Wow. As you're taking a sip and you look out the window, you see a sight you weren't expecting, but a familiar face nonetheless. Crosby is standing out in the middle of the road, looking around, just like, and like doubling back, and like you see him pass by the window and then walks back out across the street, and he's kind of like, looks like he's looking into some of the windows, stretching his neck and looking around. And
he is the worst detective.
You can hear
ever.
Through the window. He says, That's Buddy. Where are you? You down here?
Oh, God. I'm going to head to the front door. Okay. I don't want to mess with this dude's windows, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to set the drink down. No, I'm going to keep the drink, actually, and head to the front door.
Okay. Yeah, you swing it open. You see him in the street still yelling, Batch, where are you?
Yeah, I'm going to walk down the
path.
And he's
like grumbling to himself.
Crosby, stay. What are you doing?
Hey, buddy. Oh, so good to see you. Hey, I met your British chap back there. He was really friendly. Good egg, that one. What are you doing in here? What are you on a lead? It's like, sorry, yeah. I was yelling. I probably shouldn't have been yelling.
Yeah, I'm with the Colonel Hill. Do you remember Colonel Hill from the war, from the campaign?
Colonel Hall.
Whatever, sorry. I'm with Colonel Hall from the war, from the campaign. You remember him?
Wait, the Colonel Hall?
Yes.
Like Colonel Scott Hall, legendary strategist, changed the tides of the Great War.
Yes.
You're with him. He's here.
This is his house.
In Rockport.
This is his whiskey.
You're drinking Colonel Scott Hall's whiskey, you bastard. And he just like, he kind of like slaps you on the shoulder, and it's the bad one.
Sid, no, I don't call you by your first name ever, but don't listen to me. Get a grip.
Yeah, he's like,
lower your voice.
Okay, I won't. I'll shut up. I'm sorry.
Take a drink.
Okay, why are we staking someone out? No, you're with Colonel Hall. Why are we staking out Colonel Hall? Did you steal his whiskey?
Crosby, I'm gonna slap him.
What the hell?
Focus. Eyeballs. Focus. You tracking? We're going to go inside. We're going to have a nice dinner. And then we're going to pleasantly talk to Colonel Hall. And we're going to find out what he's got going on, what his boys are doing, or what he's thinking his boys are going to do. And then afterwards, or maybe during, I'll let you know what our situation is here. But he kind of came at a weird timing, right? So table, everything. We're going to go in here. And that's what's going to happen. You with me now, Crosby?
Yeah, I understand. But what I don't understand is that you called me saying, holy shit, we got one. It's here. Bring the gun. You know, I brought Big Bertha. She's sitting in the trunk. And you're all, like, freaking out. And now you're having dinner with a war hero. Just casually sipping whiskey. What are you doing sipping whiskey? What do you get caught with that crap?
The colonel offered me. You would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I would have, but, you know, your health and stuff.
Here,
you're older than me.
I'm going to peel the bandages off my face and then just like...
Holy shit, what happened to you?
That's what I'm talking about. This is what I called you for. Okay? So it's a real deal. This is the real thing. But the colonel... has been trying to find these tunnels that I got these marks in. So we need to find out what he's trying to do and then combine our plans together. I swear to God, Crosby, you are the worst detective ever. So just follow my... This is why your name is not in the building. This is why it's second. You understand me now, Crosby? Like, you finally put it together again.
Yeah, but
yet.
You told... You know, you keep treating me like this. You're going to die alone and sad. Now, what are you waiting for? There's whiskey in there. And he turns around and he walks into the building.
Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Josh Richter, and if you would like to make contact, you can find me on Twitter at The Eldritch Hour, or you can email the show at theeldritchhour@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support the show, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/TheEldritchHour.